Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. And if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, tell a friend and join us on social media for more content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome into LLFF today. I'm your co-host, Zach Clinton. And on behalf of my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, I want you to know that you are appreciated, that God loves you, and that He has a divine plan for you no matter how dark these days may seem. No matter how much pain or fear you're in, my friend, about your current state, there is hope. And my special guests today and tomorrow certainly know about pain, fear, and the redemptive hope that our Lord and Savior can provide. They're an amazing and God-fearing couple who truly represent and stand on our four pillars here at LLFF, being life, love, faith, and family. Our guest names are Miss Helen and Mr. David Smallbone. Now, you may have heard of them because of their musical roots and their amazing kids, who are contemporary Christian music singer Rebecca St. James and her brothers, Joel and Luke Smallbone, of For King and Country. But also, this past Friday, a brand new movie titled Unsung Hero just released in theaters everywhere, telling the incredible story and testimony of how, when David's music company collapsed, the journey that he and Helen took in moving their family, uprooting their family from Australia to the United States to search for a brighter future. With nothing more than their seven kids, a bunch of suitcases, and their love of music, David and his pregnant wife at the time, Helen, set out to rebuild their lives. But God only knew what was in store from there. My friends, I hope and pray that this conversation blesses your heart as much as it blessed mine. So with that, let's jump in. Mr. David, Miss Helen, thank you guys so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Terrific to be with you, Zach. Honored that you guys would be open to talking to us old folks.
Well, let me tell you guys, we're coming out of an incredible weekend. You guys just released your newest movie, a movie that really highlights your story, your testimony, the power of prayer, the power of miracles, the power of our God, entitled the movie Unsung Hero. It came out this past Friday, April 26th. We're now a couple of days into it. Again, a powerful weekend. God is moving in powerful ways in and throughout this story. But Miss Helen, I want to start with you. In watching this movie, and I'm sure your fingerprints were all over this entire process the entire time, what's the message that you really pray that every viewer would walk away with after watching this on the big screens?
Well, for one, David and I actually didn't have anything much to do with the movie process. It actually came from our sons.
Yes.
Luke started it about 4 years ago, found a producer who said he could raise the money. And then Joel picked up the mantle about 2 years ago, worked with a script writer, Richie Ramsey, who is also the co-director with Joel. So it's really become Joel's baby.
Yeah.
David never read the script because they've actually portrayed him as the antagonist. And I think he was like, oh, gosh, I don't quite remember me being that bad. And then I did read it, and my comment back to Joel and Luke was, just be careful you don't take the miraculous out. Because the time that we came to America here in 1991 was so overwhelming that if we hadn't have seen God's hand, wow, and if we hadn't have seen miracles and He provide for us and care for us, we couldn't have stayed. So I wanted to make sure that was transferred into the movie, which I think they have done a pretty incredible job of doing. My takeaway for people from, you know, as they watch this movie, I hope, well, for one, I know everybody relates to someone or something in the movie.
That's right.
We've got migrants who feel the pain of us coming into America, who know what it's like to come with nothing.
Yeah.
They've lost everything and they've just come. Then there's mum, dad, you know, stresses and strains when going through hard times. How do they go against one another, or do they be a team and support one another? And then there's the functionality of the family. A lot of people have been very surprised that we actually shared how hard it was with the kids, because a lot of parents want to protect their kids.
Yes.
And so it's sort of very fundamental to family structure. And everybody relates even to David's job loss, crisis, you know, doors closing. It really has a wide impact in terms of the viewer. I hope they take away encouragement. I hope that they're able to trust God a whole stack more with their story, and that they go home. We've had a few people say, I'm going to go home and love my children better. And that was coming from dads. So I hope that the family is strengthened, marriages are strengthened through the impact of this movie.
Well, let me tell you, it's a movie that I've seen. I think it's incredibly powerful and impactful, and it really speaks to the four pillars on which this radio program is built: life, love, faith, and family. And, you know, Joel and Luke, they've told me that obviously they're highlighting the unsung hero, which they call their mom. I call my mom, right? Obviously, it's a little bit different there when it comes to pronunciation. But it's amazing just to see what God has done and throughout your guys' lives and how you have impacted your children. David, I'm interested from your perspective, sir, just in watching this entire process take place. Like you said, maybe you guys haven't been so much in the, you know, inner weeds, I would say, of the movie making and the producing aspect, but watching your guys' story on the big screens that's now portrayed in front of the masses, what's that like? And also, what's it like with Joel playing you and trying to act out that role? Is he doing a good job?
Well, he and I are pretty similar. Luke's closer to Helen. It's emotional.
Yeah.
I've watched it quite a lot of times now, and it reminds me that God is good.
Amen.
Because we did go through some hard times, but I look back and I think we probably went through it because of me. You know, I was a pretty strong-willed guy. I've been in music business for 58 years, and I think he took everything away to grow me, to move me from lukewarm to passionate. And looking back now, I'm so grateful because I've had a wonderful life. I'm married. Helen and I have been married 49 years last Friday, and the gifts that she has been to me, I can't believe. But then I think a lot of people want to live a secure life. That was taken away from us when we lost everything on that big tour 34 years ago. And now both Helen and I look back and think something extraordinary happened. And I think my message to anyone who wants to listen is, don't buy the lie of living a secure life. Live on the edge with Jesus. Now, there's no way we can do it by ourselves. But I think that was, you know, looking back to what happened 32 years ago, it moved me from lukewarm to passionate. And my encouragement now to anyone who wants to listen, even to those who don't want to listen, Jesus is the only way to have a full life. And I want to say to you guys, I'm so grateful for your ministry. Our goal with the King Country is to love on the brokenhearted and share the most wonderful message known to man to as many people as possible. You guys are doing that, and just this little time together has made me realize that we're in partnership in ministry. What a beautiful thing.
Amen.
I want to comment on Joel playing David. I think it was a little, I've never thought Joel looked like David very much, really, but he didn't have.
More like Helen.
He didn't have a photo of David when, it would have been in about 1984. So it's about when Joel would have been born. But anyway, he's got this photo and he's modeled himself after this look that David has with one of his sons. And we really realized that he could probably take him off on David's 70th birthday when he decided as a gift to David, he would actually get up on us on the table and do a monologue of David's idiosyncrasies and sayings. And
hilarious.
He had David just about rolling on the floor in laughter. Some people were raising their eyebrows as much as say, who don't have a good sense of humor, is this really like demeaning him or is this actually funny, you know? But we were just so laughing. And I think after that we realized, well, maybe he can do this. I think he does a really good job playing David. And it has been sweet to see how God uses so much in our lives that we never anticipate that he's going to use. Because David and Joel tend to butt heads a little because they're fairly similar and they're both very strong.
You've been a bit honest with you, counselor.
That's
and,
right.
So Joel now, I've noticed he's kinder to David. It's like he understands more about who he is.
Yes.
And he's walked in his shoes.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, I'm going to give Dave grace on that comment or whatever, you know.
That's right.
And so it's actually, Joel dubs it as a very expensive therapy session, which, you know, is, and but I do see the fruit of it. So pretty sweet.
But, well, and Zach, you know, like when you think, look at me, you think of, oh, he evidences the fruits of the Spirit so beautifully, but I'm a pretty strong-willed guy.
he's an eight on the Enneagram. So
there you go. He's an eight.
I do think it was a God moment when I was inspired to pull away for having influence, because I would have gone in there and to do what I do in management and music business. I've been around music for half a century plus.
Yeah,
It's not easy street, and you've got to be persistent. You can never give up. And I would have influenced the script in a way that was improper because they had to say it in the way they saw it.
Mm.
And Helen did the same with her book Behind the Lights.
Yeah,
because the co-writer is very experienced, and Helen said, "Oh, before we put the book out, I need to check with everybody and make sure it's okay." And they said, "No, it's no longer your book." It becomes their book. And I thought we ended up applying the same principle to the movie. And I think we did the right thing.
You guys, I'm telling you, it's impactful. And I love what you guys are both sharing. And especially you, David, when you're talking about God removing music from you so you can understand the impact and the calling and the purpose for which he created you for. I remember a quote I heard a while ago where it said, sometimes God allows us to hit rock bottom in order to recognize that he is the rock at the bottom.
Yeah. Right?
That's the solid, the firm foundation.
You just nailed it. You nailed it, Zach.
That's what it's
and
all
I
about.
Think, Zach, when you do hit rock bottom, it does show you where your foundation
is
built upon. And for us, I'm just so very thankful for when we did hit rock bottom that both of us recognized because of, I suppose, our upbringing being in Christian homes, the person we've got to turn to is Jesus. He is the foundation. If we're going to make sense of where we're at, he's got to be there. And then we needed each other so very strongly. David and I needed each other, and we needed the children because the journey was just so hard.
That's right.
And Zach, because you guys live in the counseling world, one thing that I will tell you, it was a hard season for me because I faced a lot of rejection in the music business. But she still believed in me. Mm. And during those first 2 years here in America, 32 years ago is when it started, 91, she was supportive of me, not negative. Had she been critical of me at that time, I would have had a nervous breakdown because my mom had a nervous breakdown at exactly the same age. So it's in the genes a little bit. But she believed, you know, I'm a bit of a persistent guy. She made a comment one time about me, and I think she was saying, oh, David, you don't listen to the Holy Spirit enough. She said, if David can't get in the door, he'll go in the window. And that's who I am.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a bit more persistent than what the movie portrays. But
I think it portrays you as being persistent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Otherwise, you would have given up.
Yeah.
You know, you kept calling
that
people even though you got rejected. I think you showed a lot of persistence.
Right. Okay, well, I'd forgotten that part.
And I was
isn't that funny? I've seen it so many times.
That's right.
There's certain parts that really get to me and other parts I disregard.
That's right.
It's crazy.
And I was going to ask you too, David, you know, in culture and society, I think men sometimes experience a lot of pressure, right? Pressure to perform, pressure to protect, pressure to provide. And when sometimes it feels like those dreams have been uprooted and taken away, I mean, you guys uprooted your entire family, really just came with your 7 kids, your suitcases, and just a dream to try to rebuild life here in America. How challenging of a time just was that for you when it felt like, man, I don't feel like I'm living up to those expectations right now?
You're right. I shook in my boots every day. Mm. But I, at the end of the day, I'm more of an optimist than the movie portrays. I do feel that Helen and I felt a calling to come here. And even when I asked her and I said, hey, babe, can we, what do you think about going to America? I thought she'd say no. And she said, we'll go for 2 years. Well, 32 years later, we're still here. But I feel what she said to me at that time, David, we're in this together.
That's right.
And she's an introvert. I'm an extrovert. I'm the eldest. And you guys know this because of your counseling. Yeah. I'm the eldest in my family. She's the youngest in her family. The birth order book says that's a good way to marry.
That's right.
So I cry when I talk about two people. I cry when I talk about Helen. Mm. She's loved me unconditionally. I cry when I talk about Jesus because he's challenged me to give my life away. But there's something happened. The hard times of those first 2 years here in America, it bonded us together. We'd had a good marriage.
Yeah.
Like all marriages, we had a little bit of work. We were on the same page on the big stuff. It was just on some of the little stuff. But those 2 years, after what we went through, we could take on everything. I remember one of the interesting things that happened when we first arrived. We had a school, public school, just down the road. Mm. I automatically think, oh, we'd send the kids down. She said, no, we're going to keep the kids at home. We're going to homeschool. Mm. And she did that for emotional health.
Wow.
Because she just, we hardly knew anybody here, had new family here.
Yeah.
And then I think it was also a Holy Spirit moment because that ended up allowing us to travel the world together.
And also work together, doing all the menial tasks.
And the boys, Joel, Luke, and the other brothers, they became Rebecca's crew.
Mm.
And then Joel and Luke particularly, they did their 10,000 hours so that when For King and Country started 12 years ago, they were prepared.
That's right.
They'd done their apprenticeship. And so, honestly, buddy, we've experienced the miraculous.
Amen.
and out of really hard times, we were given a new direction, a fresh direction.
A whole new foundation, a foundation of believing in God and who he is, seeing him turn up. So when you experience God, you're never the same. Yeah. I mean, you know, like you can sort of agree with biblical principles.
Yeah.
You can even apply them to your life. But when you experience God, it's a whole new thing.
Yes.
And so it not just changed David and me, it actually did change the children as well.
And we didn't have a lot of support at home, Zach. Like, they were like,
we're back in Australia.
In Australia.
Yeah.
What are these crazies doing? And the second year we were here, her mum, she would call up every month crying on the phone saying, hey, it's not working, daughter. She was the only daughter.
Mm.
It's time to come home. And it never fazed her.
Mm.
Like, she would listen. She was nice about it. But that was pretty intense pressure.
Yeah.
And even in a weird kind of way, Zach, you understand some of these things. It was a love language.
Yes.
Her mother, who wants her 7 grandchildren back home, and she was saying, no, it's not the right time for us to come back.
Right.
After what we did, when things started to work for Rebecca, we would bring them over to America for 3 months and we would travel all over America together.
Wow.
We'd have a motorhome for our family and then a bus for the band. And we ended up having a beautiful time. So I think, in the last 10, 15 years of her life, she saw that what we were doing was valuable.
Mm.
And we had more quality and quantity time with Helen's parents here in America than her three siblings had back in Australia, because we did that 3 months together, and it was an incredible beautiful in memory.
I love you guys, just the conversation and just the camaraderie that you guys were able to build in the midst of this time. That word that you keep saying, David, that Helen believed in you, right? She sparked that belief. And I want to shift the conversation over to you, Miss Helen, and understanding that, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of pressure on yourself as well. You're raising, you're nurturing seven kids, you're homeschooling, you're doing all of these things. You're trying to support your husband during this time, trying to, you know, instill belief and confidence and encouragement into him. You know, and obviously you stayed anchored and rooted in your faith. How are you able to do that on a daily basis? Because there may be a mom out there, Miss Helen, who feels discouraged right now that needs to have a fresh word of hope and encouragement just to uplift her and to say, you know what, keep pressing on and keep persevering.
I think my realization was that David was doing it tough. Yes, he had to sort out the business side. I believe that he would. But my true core faith was in Jesus. If I had been looking to David to provide, then I think I would have spoken some harsh words or said, you're not living up to this. But I was actually looking to Jesus to provide for us, because he promises he does in Matthew. In the Sermon on the Mount, I will take care of you. I'll provide for you. I'll give you your needs. You don't have to worry about that stuff. And so I think as best as possible, I was trusting that God would. I knew he was with us.
Yeah.
I could see his hand upon our lives. I could see the miracles. I knew we were where he wanted us to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's a key thing. If you can see that you're in the will of God, then you're in the best place you can be.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if it's what you would ideally like, or that things look like you can see where you're going, or you can see up over the hill. That really doesn't matter. You're where God wants you to be. And I think we both had an assurance that God was in what we were doing. Then my next encouragement is to look for the hand of God each day. It might be in a Bible promise. It might be an assurance in your heart. It might be in an encouraging word for somebody else. It may be as simple as going out and seeing a beautiful flower, or looking at the stars at night and recognizing what an awesome God he is. And then after that, look for the next step. It's not going to necessarily be your destination. Our next step was raking lawns and cleaning houses and just working together as a family. That wasn't what we came to America to do. We could have sat back and thought, well, this is not working. Like, right, we're not meant to be here to clean houses and rake lawns. But it was God's next step. And you know what's absolutely amazing to me? He doesn't waste anything, because that next step allowed us to learn how to work together, allowed us to give grace to one another, accept each other's strengths and weaknesses. And that set the foundation for what God did want to bring, which is, as a family, we traveled to support Rebecca's ministry, that we worked together there, that we went together across America, across the world together. And then the boys were her crew. Our oldest son, Daniel, did all her lighting design and stage design. Ben did video. Joel was background singer, and he did the stage setup, like he was a stage manager. Luke, first up, was doing spotlight. Then he learned how to run the lights, and he would do some of that as well. And Josh, at age 8, was running a spotlight as well. So everybody was involved.
Wow.
And that came out of those menial tasks of working together, raking lawns. It wasn't the destination.
That's right.
It wasn't where God was taking us, but it was a step on the way.
David and Helen, we are up against the clock here, and we seem to have just scratched the surface. I love the way you unpack your family's story and the way God directed you to stay faithful, to never give up, even when it looked pretty bleak. Tomorrow, we get to hear about the gifts that only he can provide. We're in the middle of a major box office debut. The film is called Unsung Hero, and it's about our ministry friends, Helen and David Smallbone, and their kids. The boys happen to be very good friends of mine from For King and Country, Joel and Luke Smallbone, and their sister is Miss Rebecca St. James. Their CCM music is on every playlist that I know, you guys. The film opened this past weekend. It's an incredible, incredible watch and listen. So I'm going to ask you to stay right there, and let's pick up right there tomorrow to learn more about how you guys do life, love, faith, and family.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, God's richest blessings to you all. Join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us or give us a call. You can call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. That's 800-526-8673. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?